I am excited about tonight. This may be in the, this is the 17th lesson. It may be my, I know it's my favorite lesson out of the first 17, might be my favorite lesson out of all of them. I'm about ready to come unscrewed. I told Brother Stoltz, I said, if I get too wound up, just let me go. Amen. This is fun to me. I'm hoping to be able to get through all this tonight. If not, pick it up next week and I'll get excited again. Amen. But Exodus chapter 25, I think tonight you're going to see the Bible start weaving together like you've never seen it before. Get your fingers ready. Those of you that don't know your way through the Bible, open it up to the beginning where it says index, and it has the 66 books, because we're going to use your Bible tonight, and it'll help you, because we're going to go through the Bible a little bit tonight. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read quickly, and then begin teaching. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering. This is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And turn over to the last verse of that chapter, verse number 40. And I'm going to read this last verse to you aloud. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, tonight, I want to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Not going to give you my opinion, not going to give you and something that's a little different with me than some preachers. I'm not against symbols in the Bible, and somebody says, well, this represents this. They can say that, but you can make things say a lot of things that it really doesn't say. Now, when God says that the seed is the word, you can say that seed is a picture of the word of God right there. They that go forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. That is a symbol that Jesus himself, God himself, used, saying when he said, I am the bread of life. Bread is a picture of Jesus being the bread of life. Okay, that makes sense. But to say, well, this represents this, and this represents this, and this number means this, they don't know that. God didn't say that. But I'm not going to get into all of the symbology, so to speak, of all the different things in the tabernacle and the all the Levitical priesthoods and the phylacteries and the garments and all those things. We're not going to get into a mundane, drawn out, go to sleep kind of Bible study. This is exciting tonight, and I'm about ready to come unscrewed. Moses is now on Mount Sinai, and it is now just Moses and God. The 70 elders and Joshua are lower, and then the people are down on the main level with Aaron and Hur, and they are there waiting. Moses is up at the top. Remember, there's a black cloud up there. They see the lightning. They can hear God's voice to a certain level. And then God finally, after 7 days, told Moses, come on in. And then he spends 40 days and 40 nights in that cloud with God. And the people down below, they just see all the clanking going on and the darkness and the storm-type clouds, and it's much different. But you have to understand something. When Moses is up on Mount Sinai, he is not getting the Ten Commandments. He already got them in chapter 20. Chapter 20 was where they got the Ten Commandments, which is the civil law. Our constitution, the local laws for man to rule himself amongst himself to protect himself from each other. That is the civil laws that were given. Those weren't the things written on the tables of stone. Okay, that was just the civil law. Now we're going to find out what's on the tables of stone. Everybody understand that? And you're going to find out
it's a whole lot different than what you thought it was.
Now, we read just a little while ago. By the way, there's three different types of law. That's what I want you to get. First of all, you have the Ten Commandments, which is what kind of law? It's civil law. Then you have the law about the tabernacle and the priesthood. I would call that the Levitical law or the ceremonial law. All right. So let's use the word Levitical. All right. That sounds fancier anyways. Right. The first kind of law is what kind of law?
Civil
law. The second is Levitical, which means the Levites or the priestlyhood. And it has to do with the tabernacle and the priesthood. Then you have a third law that's given. We'll discover this later, but we're going to teach it tonight. And that is the moral law. So you had a, what was the first law?
Civil.
Then you had the
Levitical.
And then you have the
moral
law. That's where you get into, you need to wash your hands, I have to use the washroom, and different things about that, different ways to prepare food, and how to behave, and who not to have, who not to marry, and who to marry, and how far down into the family relationship that West Virginians didn't listen to get married, and all those other things. Those are moral laws. Okay? Now, you have moral law, you have Levitical law, and you have civil law. The civil law was already given, and the people had already agreed to live by the civil law, correct? All right? That's why God didn't kill them after these 40 days when Moses came down, because they weren't violating what they had not seen. They were violating the civil laws. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God was punishing them for breaking the civil law, not for breaking the tables of stone. Moses got so mad and said, if they're not willing to do that, there ain't no way they're going to do that. That's what took place there. Now, so you have the civil law, you have the Levitical law, and then you have the moral law. Now, listen to this very carefully. The ceremonial or Levitical law and the moral law are what people often mistake as the statement, the law in the New Testament. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I'm going to show you something. Romans chapter 3, look at verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Huh. That's not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's talking about the Levitical law and the moral law. That's not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's civil law. That's man with each other. Okay? By the deeds of the flesh shall no flesh, or by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified.
That's right.
It's not by the keeping of the Levitical law or the moral law or even the civil law. It was never intended for salvation.
Amen.
Now, take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Just a few books over, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to look at one verse. Oh, my soul. But look at verse 23, I'm sorry. Galatians 3, verse 23. I'm sorry. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now look at me. The law was given to show you the need of a Savior.
Amen.
It was our schoolmaster.
That's right.
And it was to show you your need of a Savior. Once he came and fulfilled it, all of that was washed away because he had already fulfilled it all and you don't need it anymore.
Amen.
That's what that passage says. Now, take same book, Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the... That's not the Ten Commandments. It's under the Levitical law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Huh. God says he was made under the law. He became law, fulfilled the law, so that the law could go away. So, and by the way, the law was never there for us to get saved. It was there to show us our need of a Savior. Now, let me show you what I mean. And take Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 18. I'll read one more verse here, and then we're going to really jump into some other stuff here. Galatians 5, verse number 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, that's the capital Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ye are not under the
law.
Huh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Guess what? When you get saved, you're not under the law. Say why? Because Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He came and fulfilled it. And by the way, you couldn't keep it all. Therefore, you needed faith. That's why God says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Adam, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith everybody in the Old Testament got saved. They got saved the same way we did, but the priesthood, the tabernacle, and those things were a picture of what Jesus was going to do for us. He was picturing that. It was our schoolmaster to bring us in line to say, whew, you don't know as much as you think you do, and you're not as good as you think you are. We now have the entire written word of God to show us. They didn't have it back then.
Sorry.
Now, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of the New Testament, were the ones trying to keep the Levitical laws and the moral laws for salvation. Everybody doing okay? Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And I don't think I have the right verse there. Verse 5, I'm sorry, I said 15. I was in the wrong place. I apologize. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. That's in reference to the Apostle Paul. Notice it says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees were trying to keep the Levitical laws for salvation. This was prior to Paul's salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 11 first. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And then we'll go to Luke chapter 18. Start reading in verse number 37, and I'm going to read fast. Luke 11, verse 37. And he spake, and as he spake, a certain, what's the next word?
Pharisee.
Besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. That's part of the moral law. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup, of the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. That's the Levitical law. And behold, all things are clean to you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're as graves which appear not, and men that walk over them are not aware of them. Wow, he's talking about the Levitical and the moral law. And they were judging Jesus for not keeping it all. They were earning their righteousness by trying to keep the law. And he says, You're a bunch of scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. You fools. Turn to Luke chapter 18, verse number 11. Luke chapter 18, verse number 11. And I'm going to read quickly here through verse number 14, I guess-ish. The Pharisee stood and prayed with thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were the ones that were trying to keep the Levitical laws to earn or to merit salvation. And may I say this, none of those laws were given for man to get saved. That's why it says you're not under law, but under grace. The law was to show us what we needed. Now, let me say this, and this is where I'm going to get a little mean. Everybody smile. I love you. This would be very much, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, would be very much like denominationalism is today. The Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Episcopals, all those, they're trying to keep these ceremonial or Levitical laws, these moral, ceremonial Levitical laws, they're trying to earn their salvation through the representation of what Jesus already fulfilled. And they're wrong.
That's right.
Now, these laws were pictures of Jesus for salvation. I do not have time to turn to all of these, but in Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, you find out that Jesus was a picture of these things. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Boy, I wish I had time to read every one of these verses. I don't, but Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 5. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, stop right there, Levi, Levitical. The Levites were the priests. They're the sons of Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest. He was of the house of Levi. So the Levites were the priestly tribe. Okay, now watch this. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he that receiveth them, of whom it was witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, so say, Levi also who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now watch this. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. Notice that. The Levitical priesthood, they received the law, not the Ten Commandments. Now watch this. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of a necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Now watch this for a second. Jesus fulfilled the priesthood. He is the eternal high priest.
That's right.
But I want you to notice something. He didn't come out of the tribe of Levi.
That's right.
He came out of the tribe of Judah. Therefore, there had to be a change of the law. Guess why? Because he fulfilled it all. That's what this is in reference to.
That's why, and I won't take time to turn there. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect.
In other words, those sacrifices and the keeping of all those things had nothing to do with the people's sin. It was a representation of Jesus fulfilling all that. That's why when Jesus died at Calvary, listen to this and it'll make sense to you. Up until Jesus' death, the temple was still there. Matter of fact, it's still there today because the Jews did not accept him as the Messiah. But when Jesus died, he hung on the cross and said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it is finished. He gave up the ghost. And the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. What is that? The temple was virtually like the tabernacle, just a bigger version of it. And the temple was divided with the veil between the holy place, the common place, and the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom by God himself, because he said Jesus fulfilled all this and we don't need the Levitical priesthood. Now when people get saved, they become a priest themselves. That's why it says in the Bible that we become priests of God. That's why everybody's all wound up. The Catholics got it wrong following the Levitical priesthood. The Lutherans have it wrong following the Levitical priesthood. The Methodists and the others in the mainline denominations have it wrong. And I'm going to make this statement. This is what's going to hurt. The modern denominational Levitical ceremonial religion of today actually denies Jesus having fulfilled the law. And they are setting themselves up as their own God. A la Pope. We'll put a man, dress him up in all this garment and call him God. We'll let him take care of it for us because we don't believe Jesus took care of it. Now, God gave these laws to show us the need of a Savior, because no sinner can do all of these laws because we're sinners.
You're right.
Not a one of us. It shows us our need. By the way, that's why I believe you ought to use that book in leading people to Christ to show them that they're unrighteous and they need a Savior. A person can't get saved till they admit they're a sinner. You have to believe you're a bad enough sinner to die and deserve hell. Say why? Because it's written right there. Once you see that you need a Savior, it's easier to accept the Savior. Make sense to everybody? All right, I got to hurry up. Believe it or not, that's just the introduction. Now the sermon. Now, let's take a look and see what took place on Mount Sinai. And let me try to help you tonight. First of all, Exodus chapter 25 through all the way through the end of Exodus chapter 27. So chapter 25, chapter 26, and chapter 27. If you want to write a little outline, you can. God gives the blueprints for the tabernacle. Chapters 25, 26, and 27. God gives the blueprints for the tabernacle. Now, this is preacher's version of this. I can't tell you this is true. But there were two tables of stone. Chapter 25, 26, and 27 was the tabernacle. Chapters 28 through chapter 31 was the priesthood. My personal opinion is one was two-sided about the tabernacle. The other's two-sided about the priesthood. Now, I can't prove that. We'll wait till we get to heaven and we'll see those. Because God has preserved those in heaven for us. But let me say this, by the way, don't get mad at me. Well, I don't believe that, preacher. That's fine. You can believe what you want, and I'll back you. I believe what I want to believe. There's two tables. There was two parts of this, and I kind of believe God's organized enough to do it right. But I want you to see something here. These were actual blueprints of all of the things that were to be in the tabernacle. They were to scale. They were very well spelled out. If you read chapter 25, 26, and 27, it tells how big it should be by how big it should be. But I want you to notice something in verse number 9. It says, according to all that I show thee after the... What's the next word? Pattern of the tabernacle, and of the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Where was the pattern? Verse 40 said, and look thou, I want you to notice something. Go to verse 40 of Exodus 25. What's the second word? And look thou that thou makest after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. What's a pattern? That's an original that others copy, correct? This is a pattern of our site plan for our building. Guess what? That's not the actual one, but it's a pattern. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Told you the whole Bible is going to come together. We've been in the Gospels, we've been in Galatians, we've been in Romans, we've been in Exodus, now in Hebrews, back in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an, what's the next two words?
High priest.
Huh, look at me. That's in reference to the Levitical priesthood, correct? And this high priest is in reference to Jesus. Now watch this. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We know that's Jesus. A minister of the sanctuary and of the, what's the next two words? True tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof is it of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that these are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Moses got to see the true tabernacle that was in heaven in living color. God pulled the veil of heaven back and said, Moses, I'm going to write these out. You look at it. You help me measure while we do this. I'm going to write the blueprints down, but I want you getting a vision of what it looks like, because I want one exactly like this on earth. He saw it in full color, technicolor. Color printed. I have no idea if God laser printed it on those tables of stone. I believe God had the ability to. We have it today. God gave man the ability and the knowledge to do it today. Who says God couldn't have done it?
Easily.
But we do know Moses saw it in full color, because God showed him the pattern of the true tabernacle in the heavens. In heaven, I believe it's the actual throne room of God. I believe it is where God sits, is the tabernacle in heaven. You could disagree with me on that. I'm not going to fight with you over that. But I do know this. It was a pretty important place. Now, So Moses got to see the very one in heaven. God pulled the veil back, let him see, got to see it in full color for 40 days as God was drawing out the blueprints. He was making sketches, blueprints to scale. Said, I want the exact, and if you read through this, it says it's got to be this many cubits by this many cubits and this many spans by this many spans. And he just goes through the whole thing. And that's why all these things are in there. It's bringing it back to a scale that man could use on the blueprint, and they were to make it exactly like that. Now, that is the tabernacle, by the way. God likes sameness and wanted it to be same on earth as it was in heaven.
God was going to come down once a year in the Shekinah glory of God, hover over that Ark of the Covenant, the throne, in that Holy of Holies, once a year for the remission of the sins for the people as a representation of God's presence. He wanted it to be the same here as it was in heaven. He didn't want something second rate. He wanted it to be exactly here as it was in heaven. By the way, God likes things done the same way. Now listen to this. Buildings are not holy, but they need to be respectable and set apart for the use of God. Did you know there's nothing holy about this building? Come by here any day and watch how many people are out there smoking. You'll find out. But wait a minute. What goes on right here is holy. This is just a piece of wood. But I think we ought to treat it with respect. The Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. No, I don't believe in that. But I do believe this piece of furniture right here, it's God's furniture. Those chairs are God's chairs. Our building will be God's building. It's not holy, but it's set apart for the work of God. That's what makes it what it's supposed to be. Now, the tabernacle and the priesthood were not for salvation. They were pictures of the Savior who would come for our salvation. I do not have time to turn, but Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 28, Mark chapter 15, verses 37 and 38, Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 52, talk about Jesus being our high priest, fulfilling all of these things. And it was these were all a picture of what Jesus was going to do for us. Now, it had to be more graphic because he had not yet come. That's why the blood sacrifices. They had to see the graphicness of what Jesus was going to go through. We have a book and we have history recording telling us what he did do for us. They were looking ahead to Jesus coming at Calvary like we're looking ahead to the rapture. And you think people think we're nuts for looking at the rapture? Can you imagine them saying a baby's going to be born of a virgin? And then he's going to live for 33 years, never sin, and going to die and resurrect from the dead after he's dead? Imagine how nuts that sounded. Talk about a bunch of crazy Baptists. Now, wait a minute. Those were things that were necessary. Now, let me say this. I've got to hurry. I have 10 minutes. I got to get this in. Second of all, so that's the tabernacle. We'll get into some other things about the tabernacle later. There's plenty of other time, but I'm giving you an overview right now. Then let's go to the priesthood. Chapters 28 through 31 talk about the priesthood. God wanted the priesthood to be special or different because it was a picture of Jesus. Now, listen to this statement. Jesus fulfilled the priesthood, and it's no longer needed. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. I hope I can get through this. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 11. I'm going to read fast. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Wait a minute, where does baptism come into play? In the temple? In the tabernacle? No, baptism never came till the church. There was no such thing as baptism till the church. Huh. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Watch this. And having spoiled principalities and powers,
He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or new moon or Sabbath day. What are those? Levitical laws. Those are the Levitical laws, which are a shadow, verse 17, of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Jesus came and nailed all of those moral and Levitical laws to the cross because he fulfilled them all. That's why he established the church before he died. He said, don't go to the temple. I'm going to build my church. The church and the temple are two totally different things. He came and fulfilled everything that took place in the temple and said, we're starting something new. It's called the church. We're starting the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Excuse me, the Grace Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Amen. And they started it. Now, Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16 because he was fulfilling everything as the high priest, and there needed to be something to take that place because he fulfilled it all. And the purpose of the church was different than the purpose of the priesthood. Jesus is our eternal priest, but he's not from the tribe of Levi. We read that Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 14. God saw that people were going to still continue that Levitical priesthood as a way of salvation, even though it was wrong for 4,000 years before then. 3,000, whatever. It was still never a way of salvation. It was to show Jesus coming. When he came and fulfilled it, he said, that's why there's coming a high priest out of the tribe of Judah, which Moses wrote not. Because he fulfilled it all, and he doesn't need the Levitical priesthood. He fulfilled it, made it perfect, now we have the church. So when people are using the priesthood of today, may I say this, they're wrong scripturally because Jesus started the church.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. But when we started the name of our church, that's why the last word in the name is church, not temple. Temple is an Old Testament thing that Jesus fulfilled.
Yes.
Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my temple.
Right.
He said, upon this rock I'll build my... Right. And the church and the temple are two totally different things.
Amen.
I'm not saying any church that has temple in it is satanistic. But I will say this. It's not what Jesus started. Okay, that one went over like a lead balloon. I'm in trouble. God wants God's man, the priest, so to speak, to be different, but not be God to the people. I'm going to make a statement here. There are no priests in the church. Don't call me Holy Father. Don't call me El Papa. I want you to notice something. The priest of the Old Testament was exalted and lifted up and was much different than the people. Do you know who the leader of the church other than Jesus is in the New Testament? It's called pastor. That word pastor means shepherd. Shepherd was a commoner. He wasn't lifted above. His calling was higher. That's bishop, elder. But you see no New Testament reference to priest as leading the church. Any church that has the name priest leading the church is a wrong church.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's not a New Testament church. It's an Old Testament Levitical law type of Pharisaism.
Yes, sir. That's
right.
Amen. I didn't say it. God did. I'm going to make a statement here. That's why people like Joel Osteen that preach prosperity gospel and walk around in $5,000 suits and drive $100,000 cars and make $16 million a year from their people and their books and live above everybody, that's why those kind of people are wrong. That's why the Pope is wrong. I have no problem saying the Pope is wrong.
Yes, sir.
He is trying to fulfill the Levitical priesthood. Isn't it amazing they say it always goes back to the apostles? How come it doesn't go back to Jesus?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Where you see in your Bibles where it says St. Mark, St. Matthew? That's Catholic. God didn't call them St. Matthew and St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John. Funniest thing I've ever seen. St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. I am not lying. It's about two blocks from the hospital I was born in Canton on West Tusk. No kidding. Cross my heart and hope Brother Joe dies. St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. Now, you say, that's crazy. Anyway, these pastors who demand people care for him with nice things, big houses, fancy cars, fancy clothes, are trying to be priests to the people, not pastors.
That's right.
You say, preacher, what do you want? Nothing. Just want you to be in church when you're supposed to be in church. Doing what you're supposed to do. Walk with God. Win souls. Be faithful. That's all I want. Good night. There's so much I want to say. I have to finish. You'll never see the priesthood in the church anywhere because Jesus fulfilled it. And any denomination, I don't care if it's Baptist, we're going to have the season of Lent. That's Levitical priesthood. The Easter season. We're going to go through all the phases of the Easter season. That is the Levitical priesthood. That is not part of the church.
Right.
Not a bit. Everybody doing okay? Just because you dress him up with all the phylacteries of the Old Testament doesn't make him Jesus. And the Pope has no business saying he speaks in God's place, ex cathedra. He's not the vicar of heaven. He's the vicar of hell.
Yes, sir.
Say, preacher, don't you respect him? No. These Old Testament folks got saved by looking ahead to Calvary. They looked at what Jesus would do. And at Calvary, he fulfilled it. Proof of that, God rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. By the way, temple worship ceased for the Christian.
Amen.
And they started the church.
Amen.
Can I tell you why everybody was mad at Jesus? Because people weren't going to the temple, they were going to the church. Temple worship was stopping church worship, quote unquote, and I'll use that paraphrased, you don't worship in public, but the church was beginning and the temple was being pushed out and the Pharisees, the Sadducees were upset because all of their money and their business was going elsewhere.
Yes, sir.
We have the whole Bible in history showing us that Jesus fulfilled all this. The temple and the tabernacle were the Old Testament, but Jesus started the church because he fulfilled all the things necessary that were in the temple and the tabernacle. And he said, upon this rock I will build my
church.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That doesn't mean if you go to a church that says, Canton Baptist Temple, Massillon Baptist Temple, doesn't mean that it's a Pharisee church. People who named that church didn't have enough Bible sense to realize it wasn't a temple. It's a church. I'm not mad at them. It is what it is. But that's why we don't have Grace Baptist Temple. Because we're not a temple, we're a church.
Amen.
Jesus fulfilled everything from the temple. Now we're a church.
Amen.
The difference, you have Exodus 25, 26, and 27 talking about the tabernacle. 28 through chapter 31, you have the Levitical priesthood. You can go read through how they were supposed to make the breastplate, and there was 12 different stones, each stone representing a different tribe and the name written there on, and you had the different phylacteries, and you had the different garments and the different things that went over those things, and all the linen breeches and all the different colors and all those things. Moses got to see every one of those in living color. God pulled it back and said, I'll show you. Then God took his own hand and wrote it in the tables of stone. Gave him the blueprints. Said, now take it down and go build this. And we'll find out next week he came down and his assistant pastor, the first high priest, had already made a golden calf, and everybody took the clothes off and was dancing around it to rock music half naked. And Moses got so mad that he broke the tables of stone, took the golden calf, grinded it up, put it in the water, and made the people drink the water. They didn't break their way to heaven. They broke the civil laws. If they weren't going to keep the civil laws, how in the world were they going to keep the Levitical priesthood and the moral laws that went behind it? They weren't willing to trust the man of God to give them the truth about civil law. What about getting to heaven? We'll get into that later. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I needed about 3 more hours. My soul... I crammed a ton in there. I hope you understand a little bit better how the Bible pulls itself together.